Good evening, everyone. Hope you've been enjoying God. But I must say, sometimes God comes in a way that, in a way you can enjoy Him, but other times He comes in a way where you actually need to realize that this is holy, like Moses with the burning bush, that like tread lightly because He's in the room. And sometimes He's like the dove. And I don't know if you've seen a dove, but a dove can easily be scared away. So I feel like tonight is like that. And like he's in the room, but he's in the room in a dove way. So I need to, even as leaders and leading this meeting, I feel like I need to, Rob and myself, we need to tread lightly because he can easily be scared away. Sometimes he is like that. Sometimes he's just there and regardless of what we do. And he's just, he's here. But he's here in a very sensitive way, in a very unique way. And as a congregation, it's not just my Rob's response. It's all of us. It's all of us. It's all of us that we need to position our hearts in a way that we honor him, we welcome him, and we don't chase him away. If you want to, no sudden movement in a sense, like, God, I'm standing still. You are here. You are holy, God. So I've got to preach, but I'm not going to preach it because God has been speaking and leading us differently to where I thought we were going to go this evening. I've got a real good preach that I prepared, I must say. But that will be for some other time. Just want to welcome Lon and his wife. They're the elders from Sunningdale AM. It's great to have you with us. Just went over to Lon and asked him, Lon, what do you feel? What do you see? And this morning, he just mentioned Andrew was with them in Sunningdale AM. And Andrew preached on one of the churches in Revelation 2, about coming back to our first love. And then as a church, they responded with that song, Have It All, that we just sung. How cool is God? He's doing this. We're one church. One church. We're different congregations, but one church, and God is speaking to us. So I want to caution myself, I want to caution us that we need to respond in some way. We can't just be spectators when God is in the room. So I feel like I've got two scriptures, passages, and I'm not going to try and say much myself but I'm going to just see what God does and where God goes. So if you're a visitor, I say this sometimes, I'm sorry, but I'm not sorry. I'm sorry that this is maybe not normal for you, but I'm not sorry because for us and for this meeting, I want to go where God goes. We can have a real nice, polished meeting, but God could not be in it. I don't want to have a nice meeting and God is not in it. I want to have a meeting and I don't care if God messes around with our plans. So I'm sorry, but I'm not sorry. I just trust that you would, as a visitor, for those that don't come here often, I trust that you'll experience something of God. Something of God. Something of Him. That you would taste the goodness and the sweetness of who He is in our midst. So I'm going to read. Let me just find what I looked for. I felt like the Lord spoke in the beginning of... I felt like God speak to us about our worship tonight. And I want to just go look at Sir Ruan. Obviously, the scriptures for the Kikhiet is not relevant, Manny. But if you can get up there for me, Luke 7, verse 36 onwards till beginning of chapter 8. Just wait for you, my yellow finach. Okay, one of the Pharisees asked him to eat with him, and he went into the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. And behold, a woman of the city who was a sinner, when she learned that she was reclining at table, when she learned that he was reclining at the table in the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster flask of ointment, and standing behind him, at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair of her head and kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would have known who and what sort of woman this is who is touching him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answering said to him, Simon, I have something to say to you. And he answered, say it, teacher. A certain moneylender had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. When they could not pay, he cancelled the debt of both. Now which of them will love him more? Simon answered, the one, I suppose, for whom he cancelled the larger debt. And he said to him, you have judged rightly. Then turning toward the woman, he said to Simon, do you see this woman? I entered your house and you gave me no water for my feet, but she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but from the time I came in, she has not ceased to kiss my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she has anointed my feet with ointment. Therefore, I tell you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But he who is forgiven little loves little. And he said to her, your sins are forgiven. Then those who were at the table with him began to say among themselves, who is this who even forgives sins? And he said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. What a beautiful portion of scripture. And I feel like God wants to speak to us tonight. And again, earlier I spoke about the positioning of our hearts in worship, and often for me, I can look at someone, and I think maybe it's some of the grace that God gives to an elder. I don't know. I don't know if other people see it the same way as me. But sometimes I can look at the way that someone worships, and I can see that they're not engaged with God. But it's not about the external. So it's kind of a paradox. So sometimes I can see, okay, that guy is not in, he's not worshiping God. But God looks at the heart. And I don't always presume that my judgment is correct. But I think that that is something that God has given us as elders. Even as how to see. And it's not the point of this, where I'm going. It's not to try and convince you to worship better externally. It's not where we're going. I feel like that word that Carmine brought about lukewarmness is something that God is addressing tonight. And for me, when I'm lukewarm, it's because I've become too much of a Pharisee. I've become too much of someone that likes to do it right, likes to have it the right way, likes to have it externally even right. But Jesus then, in this parable, no, it's not a parable, it's a real story that really happened. And Jesus is contrasting the response of the Pharisee to the response of a woman who was a sinner. And she just worships him. What I love about this and what I see in this is that actually she and Jesus never spoke. Except till right at the end when Jesus starts speaking to her. But the interaction all the time is between Simon and Jesus. And what I'm seeing and what I'm learning and what the scripture is telling my heart is as a Pharisee, even in my own heart, I become good at reasoning with God when I should be quiet with God. I start looking down at other people. I start elevating myself and saying things like, Jesus, you would have known that woman is a sinner. If you knew who she was, you wouldn't have allowed her to be doing what she's doing. But Jesus then goes into an analogy, and I love this analogy. And for me, this analogy is directly connected to how we worship God. He who loves little, it's because he doesn't understand that he's forgiven, because he thinks he's forgiven little. But Jesus says then, he who loves much is because they understand that they've been forgiven much. And for me, when my worship is little, it's because I've moved away from an understanding of how much I'm forgiven by God. And so I feel like God wants to remind us tonight that we are forgiven by him. That how much we are forgiven. It's not just that we are forgiven by him, but that we are forgiven by him much. Our sins have been paid for. Jou sonde is betaal by die kruis. I feel like God wants to remind us of the cost of the Son, Jesus dying on the cross. You see, this woman worshipped because she understood that her sins were many. And even as born again people, as mense wat weet dat ons gered is, we can move into a place where our worship, where we come into worship God not on the basis of how much God has forgiven us. You see, tonight, if your worship was based on anything else but the Son Jesus, his death on the cross, his resurrection, his blood that flowed for your sin, if your worship was based on anything else but Jesus and the cross, you've tried to add to the gospel. You've tried to add to the price that has already been paid for you. Then Jesus, turning to Simon, do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss. There was no intimacy. But from the time I came in, she has not ceased to kiss my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she has anointed my feet with ointment. Therefore, I tell you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But he who is forgiven little loves little. I feel like God, this verse 47, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. Hang on. I thought the gospel forgives based on God's grace and mercy alone. But it's interesting how this verse reads, and I'm not trying to suggest, but just for a moment, read with me. Her sins, which are many, are forgiven. Why? Because God saved her. No. Yes, God, but no, that's not what it says. Her sins are many, are forgiven. Why? Because she loved much. Because she loved much. I want to call us to back to love. To love much. I feel like that's what God has been saying. That word that Carmine brought out tonight is about Jesus standing at the door knocking. In other words, and it felt to me like that way. When we started worship, it felt to me like Jesus was not in the room. He was near, but he was not in the room. So that word witnessed tremendously with me because I felt like Jesus wants to be here, but he's not fully here. And then when that word came, I was like, oh God, it makes sense. Some of our hearts are closed. Some of our hearts are not ready for Jesus. And Jesus saying, come, I want to come in. I want to dine with you. What I love about this is that Jesus, the scripture highlights the forgiveness of Jesus. Not the anger of Jesus, not the wrath of Jesus. It reveals the forgiveness of Jesus. That God loves much. We can love him much because he loves us much. Because he has forgiven us much. So I'm sorry if this preach doesn't sound like a preach or comes out. I'm just flowing, trying to flow with what God is saying tonight. And then I wanna go to Revelation. I was standing here and I know Carmine read from Revelation 3, but I felt like God speak to me about Revelation 2. And then I went over to Lon and I said, Lon, do you feel anything? And then he said, but Andrew preached from Revelation 2 about coming back to your first love. And It was just confirmation that I feel like God wants to speak to us from Revelation 2. So let Ruan, Revelation 2, verse 1 to 7. To the angel of the church in Ephesus, write the words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks among the seven golden lampstands. I know your works, your toil. I know your patient endurance, how you cannot bear with those who are evil, but have tested those who call themselves apostles and are not, and found them to be false. I know you are enduring patiently and bearing up for my name's sake, and you have not grown weary. So John is seeing this, and the angel is speaking, and he said, I know your works, your toil, patient endurance, how you cannot bear with those who are evil, but you've tested those who call themselves apostles and are not, and found them to be false. I know you are enduring patiently and bearing up for my name's sake. And if not, so it's all good stuff. They've all been doing the right stuff. But I have this against you, that you have abandoned the love you had at first. Remember therefore from where you have fallen. Repent and do the works you did at first. If not, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. Yet this you have, you hate the works of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To the one who conquers, I will grant to eat of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. There's nothing technically that Jesus has against this church. There's nothing physically. There's nothing on the external that God can say, you're doing it wrong. Nothing. They're doing everything externally the right way. And he commends them for that. He's not like that's completely, but he says this one thing, this one problem, this I have against you. You do not love me the way that you loved me at first. Even as an elder, as a pastor tonight, I have to ask myself, Jesus, am I loving you? I remember those first years of salvation. I remember how passionately I loved you, how much zeal I had to just, Jesus, you were my everything. And I'm trying to think, and I'm trying to assess even right now, Lord, have I complicated things? Have I added things into the frame of the picture and have made other things important? No, Jesus, have I complicated this? Have I moved away from the simplistic truth and the simplistic love that I'm called to, one love, and that is to love you? Have I made it complicated by trying to interpret Bible stuff and to add theology and to be wise when it comes to theology? And I think all those things are good. But have I substituted love for you with other things? Have I substituted love for you with attending church and attending community? Have I substituted pure, undivided devotion with reading books, good books, C.S. Lewis, Charles Spurgeon? Have I substituted unadult, like pure love for you with other things, because I think I've grown more mature since I've walked with you? I think the best people in the room tonight is our two ladies that got baptized today. And maybe this is a great opportunity for you as you walk with God. As you walk with God, you will be tempted to be drawn away from this one thing, to love Jesus with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength. Remember where you have fallen. Repent and do the works you did at first. If not, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. Lord Jesus, right now, just open our eyes. Show us, Lord. Show us, God. Show us where we've drifted from this. Each one of us, Lord, you know our hearts. You know what we are facing. You know our stories. You know our testimonies. And you know exactly where we find ourselves tonight. Lord, we want to be in this place where we love you, God. We want to be in this place. We want to love you, Jesus. Lord, I pray that... Lord, I want this church to grow, God. I want this church to evangelize. I want this church to be a family church where people love each other, serve each other. Lord, but I pray that we would not be known for any of those things. But that we as a church would be known for one thing, that we love you, Jesus. That we would be marked by love. That we would be marked by love. That we would be marked by devotion. We would be marked by devotion, undivided devotion. If you're just going to be honest with yourself, that at this point in time and this moment, if you're honest with yourself, that you don't love God much. You love the stuff about Him. You love reading the Bible, maybe. You love praying. You love corporate prayer meetings. You love coming to church. You love Wednesday night community nights. You love the stuff about God, even. But God is saying, do you love me tonight? Do you love me? I feel like God got this grace tonight. I love that Romans 2 says it's His kindness that leads us to repentance. God is not standing with a whip in the room saying, come on, repent. No, it's His kindness. It's His death on the cross. It's Jesus' death on the cross. It's mercy and grace and love in action that leads us to come back to Him and to say, God, I'm sorry. If you here tonight and you want to say, God, I want to repent. I want to repent. I want to repent because you are not my first love. I've got this hobby, mountain biking or running or surfing or reading books or, God, but I've drifted. You are not my first love. And God is actually saying to this church that if they don't repent, He's going to take out the light. That means that if God, for example, if God takes away the light of this garden, it means that we're going to cease to exist. It means we're not going to be here anymore. We might think we're a church, but it means like when God takes the light away, it means He takes the light away. There's nothing good that remains. And so maybe even that's a warning for individuals tonight that you need to come back to your first love. Oh, He's inviting you. But I want to remind you of the other scripture that it's because the woman was forgiven much. The only way that we can return to our first love is to understand that we are forgiven much. So no one in the room tonight can have to be ashamed of the fact that they need to be forgiven much. Because it is only those who are forgiven much who loves much. And that's what God is calling us to back as a church tonight. So with every head bowed, no one looking around, I want to create an opportunity for people to respond to God. It's ultimately what I'm not trying to preach a sermon. I'm actually just trying to help you respond to God. I'm trying to communicate what I see the Spirit of God is doing in our midst tonight. I'm not giving you something that you're going to take home with you. I'm just trying to lead you into a place where you can actually see what God is doing and respond to Him. Not to me, not to the person that you can respond to Him. Oh, how lovely He is. Oh, how beautiful He is. He's the one who forgives our sins. Jesus. He's the one who forgives our hypocrisy. He's the one who forgives us even when we've put up this mask of how good and holy we are, when our hearts are distant from Him. I don't know what your situation is. I don't know where you find yourself in your heart, in the thoughts, in your mind. But I do know this, that God is extending an invitation. Number one, for the forgiveness of our sins. If you are born again or not born again, as jy 'n kind van die Here is, of jy bekeer is of jy nog nie bekeer is nie, there's an invitation to receive forgiveness tonight. That's you stand right now. With elke oog toe, every eye closed, every head bowed. Jesus. Worship You, Lord. Worship You, Lord. Worship You, Lord. I feel like maybe there's someone here tonight that is, you've never confessed your sins to God. You've never come to a point. You might believe in God. You might say God exists. God is real. I like the idea of God. I even have a Bible, whatever. But you've never come to a point where you've actually asked God, God, I need You to forgive me of my sins. If there's anyone tonight that want to respond to God, say, God, I need Your forgiveness. God is holy and His standard is high. I don't care how hard you try, you will never in yourself be able to reach the standard that God has set. That's why Jesus died in your place, because He knew that you would never reach that place. I feel like there's someone in here tonight that have never confessed their sins to God. Never ask God, God have mercy. Here, ek het U nodig. Kom help my. Kom maak my skoon. Kom was my. Kom maak my nuut. Kom vergewe my sondes. Just with every eye closed. Please respect the people around us. Let's close our eyes. Is there anyone that tonight I want to say, I've never done that. That's me. I would like to ask and receive God's forgiveness tonight for my sin. Is anyone like that? And then secondly, I want to invite us to Jesus, not me. Jesus is saying, come, love me. Love me first. Return to your first love. And if that's you tonight, if you want to say, I want to return to my first love, I want to invite you to stand. Sê, jy wil terugkeer na jou eerste liefde, Jesus Christus. Don't stand because the person next to you, just you and God. You and God. Worship You. Worship You, Lord. Worship You, God. Worship You, God. Jesus. Just if you're standing right now for one or two or both, just you and God, start communicating. Start repenting to God. Start speaking to God. Don't wait for Don't wait for a prayer or just you and God. Like God is right now. He wants to minister to you. He wants you to come back to Him, to that place of, God, I'm returning to you, my first love.
I just feel like God is so here, and I had this feeling that God wants to come and put pacemakers in us, and like there's a lot of us that have irregular heartbeats. We're not beating for Him, and I just felt like, He's coming in like shocking our hearts and like just bringing back our love to Him. And I just saw people with their arms just so wide open and worshiping Him because you've just experienced His love again. But then I also just saw people who are cross-armed, who are closed off to this. And I just felt like, just relax. Don't worry about how it's going to look or what He's going to do. But just open your arms wide. Just let Him come and let Him just beat your heart again for His love. And just a fresh love for Him.
Worship you. What I want to do, if you're standing right now, even, but I feel like, I don't want to put you on, I want to put you in the spotlight, but I want to ask, come forward, just respond to God. Just respond to God. If you're standing right now, just come forward. Just come forward. Worship you, Lord. We're going to respond to God. Keenan is going to lead us. It's three lines, but just pour your heart out. Say, God, I mean this. I'm serious about responding to you. I'm not responding because other people are. I'm serious about coming to you. I'm serious about lifting my heart up to you tonight. I'm serious about returning to my first love.
Nothing else will do. I just want you. 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 Nothing else will do. I'm caught up in your prayer. just want to sit here at your feet, caught up in this holy moment, and I never want to leave. Oh, I'm not here for blessings. Gee, I just wanna sit here at your feet. Nothing else, nothing else, nothing else will do. I just want you. Nothing else. Nothing else, nothing else will do. I just want you.
Yes, Lord. One last thing I feel like the Lord is emphasizing in that story in Luke 7 about the woman and Simon. It's interesting that we never get to know the woman's name. And Jesus doesn't mention her name. And I want to just, I feel like God is saying that, are we okay with our names not being mentioned? Are we okay with losing our names in His grand story? That it's not about us. It's not about us. It's about Him. Lord, right now, Lord, it's not about us, God. It's not even this church, Lord. It's not about Durbanville PM. It's not about Josh Jane, God. All we want is to be part of your story, God. It's to be used by you, God. It's to know you and to be known by you. We let go of the identities that we think is important. Of fighting for our names to be known, God. Now, God, when it comes to you, God, the only name that matters is your name. It's the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus. The name of Jesus. To that name tonight we return. And we say, Jesus, you are our everything. You are our everything. Tonight we have repented, God. We've let go of not loving you as our first love. We come back, God. Thank you for mercy. Thank you for your kindness. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your incredible love, God. If it wasn't for your love, your grace, and your mercy, we would never be able to come back to this place of loving you like we should. We can love you much because you have forgiven us much. For those here tonight that are struggling with condemnation, die wat sukkel met skuldgevoelens, those who are struggling with feeling guilty and dirty, God, I pray right now, let this truth sink deep into it. You have forgiven us much through Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, amen, amen.